many's ready to kickstart today? Come on, that's only three. How many people are ready to kickstart this message? All right. We're in the middle of a series that we're bringing to an end here, not today, but next week, on kickstart. We've been talking about kickstarting our purpose, kickstarting our plans and the process. Now, next week, let me just tell you, next week, we're going to be talking about kickstarting the vision. And I'll be honest with you, this is the first one I've ever had, the first kickstart I've ever had. Has anyone ever had a kickstart before? I can tell you, I'm not really big on energy drinks unless I'm really, really tired, and I'll grab one to keep me awake while I'm driving. But other than that, I don't usually drink them. But next week, we're going to give one free away to everybody here. So just remember that, all right? Kickstarting the vision. And so we're going to have these ice down after church, and everybody as you walk out, anybody who wants one can get one, a kickstart. Anybody who's a teenager, no kids are going to get them because we don't want to send you home to mommy and daddy. Y'all kickstarted up. Someone say hallelujah for that right there. We're talking today about kickstart your faith journey. Kickstart your faith journey. We've been talking about a lot about alignment, right? That we got to have correct alignment in order for us to see our purpose fulfilled in life. Now, I was thinking about this word alignment and how it relates to our cars. Have you ever thought about that? You know, when our alignment's off in our cars, things are not going right. Many times you can feel it in the wheel, right? You're trying to steer it. You feel a little shimmy going on there. The alignment's off. You can feel it. Take care of it. But oftentimes, the alignment's off, and you don't even know it. Your alignment's off. Many times, you don't even know it, and you'll go in to take your car to get inspected, and they'll say, I can't pass this inspection because your tires are way thin. You're about to have a blowout. And we're like, where? We're looking on the outside. We don't see it. There's a lot of tread left on that tire. And they'll take you and show you the inside of the tire that you don't see because your alignment's been off for so long, you've worn thin the inside. Even when things look okay on the outside, the inside's gotten a little worn thin, and it can lead to a blowout. Come on now, you know where I'm going with this, right? It can lead to a blowout, and so proper alignment affects us. So many of us here, even though things look like they're going all right, things look like it's happening, nothing's wrong. Many times when our alignment's off, it can cause us a lot of trouble we don't see. And it can even lead to a major blowout in our life because our alignment had gotten way off its course. See, the best thing is when you first feel that little wobble there. That first thing is when you feel that pull going the wrong way, you say, no, I got to get back into alignment. That's why we spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks talking about we are to come and to align our dream with God's dream. We align our purpose with God's purpose. All of it submits under the authority of Jesus Christ. All of it submits under the authority of God's plan for our life. That's where alignment takes place. That's where we'll have smooth sailing. That's where we'll find the strength that we need to be when we're under alignment. And it's right. Stop trying to stuff God. No, we put all of our plans together. We stuff all of our life with all of these other plans, all of these other dreams. And then we take God and we try to stuff him in at the last minute. You know, God, now sprinkle your blessing dust upon my dream. My plans, I've got a 20-year plan, I've got a 10-year plan, and now we want God to breathe on it and bless it instead of saying, no, from the very beginning, I've got to learn to bring that back under correct alignment and say, God, what are you blessing? What are you already blessing? God, what are you already blessing? And bring that alignment underneath the authority of Scripture, under the authority of God's authority in my life and say, his plan is bigger than my plan. His will is bigger than my will. Whatever he wants me to do, I surrender to. Whatever he asks me to do, I say, yes, Lord. It's a faith journey. And so it's a process that sometimes we need to kickstart this faith journey. And today we're talking a lot about kickstarting this faith journey. The process. Last week we talked about the process. How's the process start? It starts today. Stop saying tomorrow, right? Stop saying tomorrow I'll do something for God. Stop saying tomorrow I'll get better shape. Stop saying tomorrow I'll get an education. Stop saying tomorrow I'm going to start a ministry. Stop saying tomorrow I'm going to attend a small group. Stop saying tomorrow I'm going to do this. No, tomorrow starts today or it'll never happen. Tomorrow's got to start today. There's always going to be excuses. And so we got to get right there and say, all right, man, I'm kickstarting this process in my life. I'm going to take the first step. Now, today, we're going to deal with trust issues. Now, I know this message isn't for anybody in this house, right? This is really for the church down the street because none of us have trust issues, correct? Come on now. None of us have ever been hurt. None of us have ever had anybody hurt us or do us wrong. None of us have ever had reasons to doubt. And so I know that this message is probably for another church, right? Obviously sarcasm there if you're new today. I'm sarcastic because we all deal with trust issues. We all have issues and we got to deal with it when it comes to this faith journey that God is asking us to trust him with in our life. Have you ever gone to the dentist? How many love going to the dentist? Come on now. How many dread going to the dentist? Anybody here? Yeah. Really, because really your trip at the dentist probably went something similar to the rest of us here. We go in. They say, all right, we're going to do a little work on your mouth. We're going to give you a shot. You won't feel it. We'll come back in a few minutes, you know, and they they put those things in your mouth, and then they put that little tube in there, you know, and they give you a little shot, and then you know, and you're trying to talk. All of a sudden, you hear the drill going. All of a sudden, that dentist hits a nerve. How many know when that dentist hits that nerve, you want to put the hands of Jesus upon him right there? You're just like, oh, doc. Oh, you come alive in that chair when someone hits that nerve. Oh, we must have missed the nerve. Yeah, you missed it. You're lucky I didn't miss your face. You better take care of that doc. Yeah, this is pain, man, pain, right? And so I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give you another shot there, and we're going to deaden it. Give it a few minutes. Sometimes they do that. Okay. Doc. We can't talk. Our whole mouth, side of our mouth is numb. You got a drool coming down and they're, you know, sucking it all up there. He says, all right, now let's do it again. What are you doing? You're like, you're hanging on bare knuckled. Why? Because we got trust issues. You just hit my nerve and you think I'm going to trust you again. I'm expecting the worst. We're preparing ourselves. It's kind of the same way in our life. We have people who get on our last nerve, right? We got people who have hurt us. We got people who have done things that have hurt us. And even more so, when God didn't move the way we think he should move, when God didn't answer our prayer the way we think he should have answered our prayer, it can cause us to have trust issues even if we don't realize it. It can even mess with our mind. It can mess with our faith. Because if we can be honest today, we all can deal with trust issues in our life. See, trust issues are so dangerous because they will stop us from ever taking a risk in our life. Trust issues will keep us back from ever taking that risk. Look at this statement today before we get into our text. We want clarity. God wants connection. We want clarity. We want to see, God, where are you taking me? God, what's the 10-year plan? God, I want to know it. And we want clarity, but God wants connection. God's more worried about us connecting and trusting him along the journey than he is about us having clear direction of where we're going. He wants us to have this connection because through connection, we grow. Through connection, we grow in him. Let's go back to our text throughout the series, Jeremiah 29. Hopefully this is getting into your heart. Hope this is getting to your spirit as we say it every week. God says, for I know the plans. Come on, everybody say plans. God's got a plan for your life. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. See, in order to embrace this future that God's got for us, we have to deal with our trust issues. In order to embrace this issue, we got to learn to trust and learn to deal with our trust issues we have. Remember, when God told the children of Israel this, they were in exile. They were in Babylon. Babylon had taken over the rule of Israel. He had taken over their rule. And now what was happening? They were taken away from their homes, taken away from their farms, taken away their livestock, their families, all living as refugees. I mean, they're out there. And then God says, all right, I got plans for you. Say what? You just asked me. I just got thrown out of my home. We just got thrown out of our land. We just got everything stripped from us. We're living as refugees. And now God says, I've got plans for you. Plans are not going to bring you harm. They're not going to bring you disaster. But what? There's a good plan. And it's a plan for future and a hope. We can't go there if we don't deal with the trust issues in our life. So how do we embrace God's plan and deal with these trust issues? Number one, write this down. You've got to learn to look past your disasters. Learn to look past your disasters. Don't let your trust issues get in your way. Now, we have a picture of a baby giraffe here and its mom. Look at this. Now, if you didn't feel good this morning, this is going to melt your heart. Come on, lady. All the ladies said, oh, I mean, come on now. Is it getting better now than a mama giraffe kissing that baby giraffe on top of the head? I read a story about a veterinarian who was at the zoo when a giraffe was being born. And as he was being born, of course, the first thing that happens when a giraffe gives birth is it gives birth standing up. So the first thing that happens in a baby giraffe's life is, because of standing up, it's about a 10-foot drop. Welcome to the world, right? 10-foot drop. And then you would think, what happens next? The mama giraffe goes over and starts licking it, you know, and starts cleaning it off. No! Doesn't happen. You know what the mama giraffe does? It goes over to the baby giraffe and starts kicking it. And the vet was like talking to the zookeeper, why is the mama giraffe kicking the newborn baby giraffe? He said, because she's trying to get him to stand up. She's trying to get him to stand up. And so she keeps kicking him. He doesn't get up, kicks him again. Kicks him again until finally that baby giraffe gets up on those skinny legs for the first time. You know, kind of like us on leg day when we haven't been to the gym in a year. God, I can't stand. You know, that baby giraffe gets up. And it's weak and it gets up and everybody's like, yay, yay. You would think the mom would be proud, right? You would think the mom would be like, yeah, this is my giraffe right here. No. You know what the mama does? She kicks him back over. She kicks the baby giraffe back over. You want to know why she kicks the baby giraffe? He said, why did they kick the baby giraffe back over? It just got up. She said, the zookeeper said, because the mama giraffe wants to make sure that the baby giraffe remembers how to get back up. Because a sitting, laying giraffe is a dead giraffe. See, its power is when it's standing up. Its power is when it uses its power when it's up, and it can use its height to its advantage. It can use its power to its advantage. Laying down out there in the jungle, man, it's a sitting duck. It's a weight. It's a big target. It's going to be attacked. It's going to be killed. And so the mama giraffe knows if I'm going to save this giraffe's life, I got to be tough on it at first because I got to get it to stand. I got to learn how to get back up because it's the most valuable lesson this giraffe will ever have in its life is how to get back up. You see, it's kind of a same thing in our life, right? Look at this next statement. See, we all want the kiss of God, but nobody likes the kick. We all want the kiss of God, but nobody likes the kick. But how many know that sometimes you just need a little kickstart to what you're doing? All right, now there we go. You just need a little kickstart. God, you know what's going on, and God's giving you a little kickstart in your life. Why is this happening? See, it's easy to look back and only see the disasters in my life. We look back, and all we can see is our disasters. When this thing happened, it devastated me. When this thing happened, it devastated my life. And we look back, and it's all about me, right? Me, me, me. I can't see beyond my disaster. I can't see beyond my failure. I can't see beyond this traumatic thing that happened to me. And instead, we need to say, God, it's not all about me. It's all about you. Because the Bible says this. It says that God will cause all things to work together for good for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Come on. Those who put their trust in the Lord, God will cause all things, even our disasters, will become to make us stronger, will cause us to walk stronger, will cause us to walk more powerful, will cause us not to be devastated the next time if we'll just look up and realize He's trying to do something through the process. He's trying to do something through the pain. He's trying to do something through the devastation. He's trying to make me stronger. He's strengthening my testimony. He's going to pick me back up, and I'm going to be stronger coming through this than when I went into this, and that's okay, because God, ultimately, you got a plan. You see, it's God's plan. And I've got to realize that. That, all right, I got to look past my disaster. I got to look past my shortcomings and say, God, you got a plan. God says, I got a plan even when you don't see it. Even when we don't think He does, God has a plan. You see, our failures, your failures, look at this, your failures don't prevent you from being used by God. They prepare you for being used by God. Come on, it's a different way to think. My failures, they don't prevent me from being used of God. They prepare me for being used of God. The Bible is full, from cover to cover, is full of people who've had major failures in their life. The Bible is full of people who've had major disasters in their life, but yet God used them in a mighty way. God had to do something through the failure. God had to do something through the storm. God had to do something to set them up for what He was ultimately trying to do in their life. Maybe He didn't cause the disaster. Maybe this disaster was self-inflicted. But I know this, if I submit it to the Lord, He causes all things to work together for His good in my life. And ultimately, He'll bring it back under His plan if I will just submit it to the Lord. See, I got to look past my disasters. I got to look past my disasters and realize, God, You've got a plan. See, it's God who always helps me get back up. You know, when a natural disaster happens, what happens? When earthquakes happen, we know here that tornadoes can happen. And in a moment's time, we can have natural disasters that come in, natural flooding, things that happen. And what happens, it totally wipes out the resources we have, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. When we had the tornado come through town, what happened? Man, we lost power. We didn't have good water. We didn't have food. We didn't have clothing. We had all these things happening, and people were without all these resources. And that's kind of what happens to us if we're not careful. We allow the disasters in our life to think, all right, I'm being cut off from the resources. But remember, it wasn't just a few days later that we had so many resources coming to this area. We were just a small church, a beginning church, and I had so many resources coming to me, I couldn't give them all away. I was giving semi-loads of trucks away to organizations, to colleges, to churches, to other places. We were giving them away every day by the semi-load. Giving them away because they were coming in, and I was finding places. They say, take it to this address, take it to this address, take it to this address. They were coming in, and we were just one small piece. Think about all those that were coming in from around the world, people shipping things here, water, food, and clothing, and tools, and all these resources that were coming back. Why? Because it was flooding back to the resources. What we got to realize is when we go through disasters in our life, if we'll just get back into alignment and say, God, I lost all these resources and I didn't know it and I don't understand it, but God, You are my resource. God, You are my foundation. And if I keep my eyes upon You, You're going to take care of me and allow the resources of the Lord to come back, to heal, to restore, to nourish, and to set me back up. We're dropping strong, right? We're dropping strong. It didn't break us. It hurt us. It devastated us. But we will rebuild. We rebuild. Come back stronger than ever. That's our motto. Come back stronger than ever. That should be the same model we have for every disaster in our life. that, yeah, this knocked me down. Yeah, I lost some sorrow through this. Yes, it hurt. But you know what? I'm going to come. Devil, you better not. Tell you what, right now, you don't want to mess with me when I get back up. Because when I get back up, I'm going to be stronger than ever. See, I look past my disaster and realize what God is up to in my life if I would just submit it to Him. I love what happened in Moses' life. Moses was, of course, we know from the young age when he was saved in the Nile River by the basket. And his, remember, the Pharaoh's daughter picked him up out of there, brought her into the Pharaoh's kingdom, and raised him up as one of her own. Instead of him being slaughtered like the other kids his age, God saved him. So from a very young age, he's being told, God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a plan for your life. He puts you into the kingdom. God's going to use you to set the people free. God's going to use you to have favor with Pharaoh. You're going to help set all of us free. Moses, Moses, don't forget, God's got a plan for you. Moses is like, yeah, yeah, God's got a plan. He realizes God's got a plan. And he gets, you know, gets to going out trying to do this plan on his own. Remember what happened? He got angry at the slave driver who was mistreating the slave, one of his fellow kinfolk there. He's like, hey, man. And he ends up killing the slave driver. And then he has to run for his life. He has to live in exile now himself. He's living, taking on a new identity, living on the backside of the desert, taking care of sheep. He went from the palace to the sheep pasture. 40 years on the side of a desert, working, taking care of sheep. Now God shows up in the burning bush. Hey, Moses, my plan is not dead. Hey, Moses, I've still got a plan for your life. Hey, Moses, I've still got a purpose for your life. Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. What did Moses say? God, you're talking to the wrong guy. I blew it. Remember the disaster. Remember the disaster. And it comes with all these excuses. I can't talk publicly. I can't do this. No, the problem was not that. The problem was his plan blew up in his face. And he's been living in exile for 40 years. And now he thinks he's disqualified. Well, who do I tell him sent me, God? God said, you tell him I am that I am. I am that I am. I love it because God didn't say I was. Tell him the God of I was. He said, tell him I'm the God of present day, present tense. I am today going to do a work in your life, Moses. I am today going to use you to fulfill my purpose. I am today. I am present today. Get your eyes off of what happened in the past. Look for today. Today I want you to do something. What is the first step? Just throw down your rod and look what I want to do. Then take a step that way. Just go to Pharaoh. I will tell you what to say. See, he said, just take a plan. Go there and think about it, man. Why is this important? Because, see, as a prince, Moses was too arrogant to be used of God. As a prince, he had way too much arrogance for God to fulfill the plan ultimately in his life at that time. It took 40 years for God to bring some humility into his life. It took 40 years, see, but as a humble 80-year-old, when he's like, you know what? There's no way I've got the strength to do this. I don't have the influence from Pharaoh no more. I'm just a shepherd out here helping take care of the sheep at 80 years old. And God says, perfect. I've got you exactly where I want you. Now when you go, people are not going to say, oh, it's Moses. They're going to know it's God working through Moses. It's God speaking through Moses. It's not some young hotshot prince who's making this happen. It's God using a humble man who's stepping out in faith and saying, only because God, only because God, only because God. See, God's got a plan. We've got to look past our disasters. We've got to look past our disasters. So I like what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 12:8. Look what it says in verses 8 through 10. He goes, remember he's having all these issues with a thorn in his flesh. Now, we don't know exactly what that thorn is. There's some guessing going on by theologians, and we can be pretty close. But there's no exact knowing exactly what that thorn was. But for whatever thing, he had something that was really, really bugging him. He had something that was really bringing him down. And he says, three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Have you ever been there before? God, please. He says, I'm begging the Lord, take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. How many are thankful for God's grace today? We didn't deserve it, but he came after us, right? He says, that's what you need today. Remember, it's not your own power. You're not that good. It's my grace that makes you worthy. It's my grace that brings you salvation. It's my grace that brings redemption. It's my grace that makes you in right standing before God. Not on your own power. It's my grace. And Paul said, I've been praying all this stuff. And God said, no, all you need to remember is this. My grace, it's all that you need. He goes, because my power works best in weakness. Oh, that's why I feel so weak. That's why I felt like giving up. That's why, because when I can get at my weakest, God can operate at his strongest. So now, I boast about my weaknesses. So the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. And what else? In my insults. Have you ever been there? In the hardships, have you ever been there? In the persecutions, have you ever been there? And the troubles that I suffer for Christ, for when I am weak, I'm also strong. Remember we said, we teach you, it's not one or the other. They both coexist. I can be totally weak, but yet totally strong at the same time. Because when I'm at my weakest, God becomes the strongest in my life. God is bigger than my disaster. Number two, write this down. Seek connection over clarity. See, connection creates trust. So I want you to learn to seek connection over clarity. See, we want to have clarity before we connect, right? I want to have a clear vision, God, of what you want me to do. God, I want to have a clear vision of what that looks like before I say yes. I mean, that's the way we operate the rest of our life. There's a lot of wisdom behind there. But God says, I don't want you to think. He goes, my ways are not your ways. God says, the way you reason things here, that's not the way I reason things in heaven. He goes, I have a different principle when I come to work in your life. And God is wanting us not to see connection. I mean, he not to see clarity, but he wants us to have connection, the trust. See, we don't always have clarity of where God is taking us, but that's okay. It's about the connection during the journey. Remember a few weeks ago when I talked about Paul's journey. Paul had no idea where he was supposed to go. He just knew why he was supposed to go. Remember, I'm going to Asia. I'm going to Bethania. We're going to go over here. We're going to all these places. Every day he's getting up. I made a mistake. We're going here. No, we're going here. Next day, no. We're going here. Finally, God puts him to sleep. Macedonia. He gets up. Oh, yeah. Hey, we're going to Macedonia. Paul had no clarity of where he was going. He was just knowing why I was going. I've got to go to a place and tell them just Jesus that was crucified is a living Messiah. I got to tell them that he's alive and Jesus Christ has come to fulfill the Gospels. And Paul knew that, and he had to bring the message of grace. He had to bring the message of the cross to the world, and that's what he knew his mission was. But he didn't know where he was supposed to go. He just started going, and God got him where he needed to be. The whole Trinity was involved, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the angel. I mean, they were all working with him to get him where he needed to go. See, don't worry about the clarity as much as you worry about the connection. Know why. Know why I'm loving people. Know why I'm taking the message of Jesus to people. Know why I'm on this faith journey. Because I'm learning to trust Jesus with every area of my life. I need that. You need that. It's not my plan. It's God's plan, right? It's not my plan. It's God's plan. But I will trust you, God. Look what he says in verse 12 and 13 of Jeremiah 29. In those days when you pray, I will listen. He goes, if you look for me with your whole heart, wholeheartedly. He goes, you're going to find me, right? You're going to find me. So God is looking for us to connect with our whole heart, us to submit with our whole heart. He goes, then you're going to find me. Then you're going to find me. You look with your whole heart, let go of your dream, submit to God's dream. God, I'm just looking for every area of my life to submit to you. He goes, you do that, you're going to find me. Look what he said here. You know, I love this story. I read about a young man who had went to work with Mother Teresa for 3 weeks. He'd gotten approved to come work there, and he flew over to Calcutta to work with Mother Teresa. She was ministering to all those orphan kids over there and helping feed them. And finally, he had one afternoon, he was allowed to have a small window of time with Mother Teresa. And she asked, she said, young man, what can I pray with you about? And he said, I want you to pray for me to have clarity for my life. Please pray that I have clarity for God's will for my life. And she said, I will not. Can you imagine little Mother Teresa telling this young man, I will not pray for that prayer. I won't pray for clarity of your life. And she said, clarity is the one thing you're holding on to that you need to let go of. And he says, but you always seem to have clarity in your life, Mother Teresa. And she laughed at him. You're mistaken. She goes, I never have clarity, but I always have trust. See, God's looking for us not to have clarity. He's looking for us to have trust. He's looking, are you going to trust him? He says, seek me with your whole heart. And the last thing I want you to write down, number three, get into God's plans. Get into God's plans. Look at verse 14 here. Jeremiah 29:14. God says, I will be found by you. I will be found by you. Now, what did we just read first? The verse before? If we surrender our whole heart, all of our heart, when that comes into alignment right, then God says, then I will be found by you. You'll find me. And if you find him, look what God says, I will end your captivity and I'll restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you. Wait, we're refugees. Wait, we were in exile. And God says, exactly, I'm going to gather you out of the exile where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. See, God's got a plan. And it starts with the trust of saying, God, I want to surrender all of my heart, wholeheartedly, God, I surrender everything to you. And God says, if you'll surrender your whole heart, not part of your heart, that's a start. But God says, I don't want part of your heart. I want your whole heart. And when you say, God, I've got a lot of plans, but ultimately, I want to grab a hold of your plan first. God, where does my plan fit under your plan? God, where does my heart fit under your heart, greater heart for this community? God, where does my heart fit under your greater heart for this world? God, what are you asking me to do? How can I use the things you've given? You've given me talents. You've given me dreams. You've given me visions for my life. Those are all great things, and we can find in Scripture, and we'll talk about it next week. Those are all good things. But they got to first start under the authority of what God wants to do in our life. He says, when you do that with all your heart, he goes, you're going to find me. I'm going to set the captives free. I'm going to restore to you what the things you've lost. Look at this last statement here. Knowing the plans and going on the journey are two different things. Knowing the plan and going on the journey are two different things. See, many of us, we know the plans. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper. Yeah, God wants me to prosper. God doesn't want me to be devastated. He's got a hope in the future. I know God's got a plan for my life. Pastor, I agree. I've clapped. I've said amen. I've taken notes. Every one of these is a series. I'm there. I know God's got a plan. Knowing the plan and taking the journey. See, it's the journey that gets us to God's plan. It's not the knowing the plan. It's the journey that God does something through us, through every devastation, through every high, through every low, through every disappointment, through every hurt, through every celebration, through every mourning, through all the trials and tribulations. If I realize, God, you've got a greater plan, God takes and does something through to me. And when I get up and through this plan, my testimony is going to be greater. My impact's going to be greater. My reach is going to be greater. My heart's going to be greater. Because why? Because God, you've done something through me, through this journey. It wasn't easy, and it wasn't supposed to be easy. And many times it felt like we were getting kicked down, only to get back up and to be kicked down again. But what we didn't realize was this, what the enemy meant for bad, God was allowing to be used for good. And you begin to exercise. Come on now. You begin to exercise those muscles. See, what the enemy didn't know about Samson was he took his eyes, he took his strength, he cut his hair. But every time he went around that meal, carrying that meal, his hair began to grow again. His strength began to grow again. His faith began to grow again. He had, who else is he going to talk to? God, I'm with you here all day long. God, you're the only friend I got. God, everybody else has forsaken me. I've lost everything. And it says his strength began to return back to him. And in one day, he defeated more people on his last day than he ever defeated the enemy all throughout his whole life. See, God restored back, and God used something that was supposed to bring devastation to him. God brought ultimately victory back to his people because one man said, you know what, God? All right, I'm not giving up. See, what are you going through in your life? Look past your devastation. And let's align ourselves upright. Today, I want you just to bow your heads for a few minutes here. And as you do, before we go any further, I want to make sure everybody in this room, you have a decision to make in your life. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never believed on the work of the cross where Jesus gave his life, God's only Son, gave his life, shed his blood for the remission and forgiveness of our sins today. That's where it all starts. See, I can't do it. See, it's a two-step process. Number one is surrender. Surrender, it starts right there. And number two is trust. So I learned to surrender my heart fully. And then I learned to trust God at step two. Some of you never taken step one. You never fully surrendered your heart to Jesus. Without anybody looking around right now, we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. I want to make sure you have a chance to respond today. Say, Pastor, I believe Jesus Christ died for me. And today, I've never asked him to be my Lord, but today's my day. I'm ready to do that. Can you just raise it right now where I can see it? That's me. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Say, I'm ready. Today's my day. Today's my day. You want to join these people right now? Thank you. Thank you. I'm ready right now. Today's my day to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not holding anything else back. I want to surrender my life to him. If you haven't raised it, raise it one more time right now. That's you. You haven't done it yet? Raise it right now. We're going to say this prayer. Thank you, guys. We're going to say this prayer together. We have several who raised their hands. If you raised your hands today, I want you to say this prayer with me out loud. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you along to say it out loud with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I'm a sinner. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. I will follow after you all the days of my life. I will serve you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, come on, put your hands together. It's the first step. Welcome you to the feet of God. And listen, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, before you leave today, we want you to stop by our hub back here to the left. We got a free Bible. Inside there are some next step things we want you to have and get. Make sure you please grab that. If you don't have a church home, you better be back here, okay? You can't do it alone. Don't let the enemy thank you, okay? He's going to attack you this week and tell you you didn't mean that. No, you get back here every week, okay? You get plugged in around people who will support you and believe in you, okay? You need that. So the Bible says we come together supporting one another. I guess you raise your hands this morning. I want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you. God, as I look out among the auditorium today, God, I see people who are taking the first step. Say, God, I don't have clarity, but God, I got trust. And I pray today that God, you allow the fear of past disasters, but begin to fall off our life. And God, we say yes. We say yes to your plan. We say yes to your trust, God, today. May our trust issues be dealt with today. May our trust issues be submitted to you today. We say yes, God, whatever you have for us. We say yes, God, whatever you have for us. Yes, God, we'll do something. Yes, God, we'll be used of you. Yes, God, we'll take the first step. Yes, God, we'll reach out to the coworker. Yes, God, we'll send out the text. Yes, God, we'll go be nice to that person. Whatever you're asking us to do, God, you're not asking us to go around the world. You're asking us to go across the street. We say yes. You ask us to say yes. We say yes. We say yes, God. We trust and we submit. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. If you believe that word spoken over your life today, put your hands together. Give a shout of praise. Come on now. You can be a little louder than that, I think, can't you? Come on, give a shout of praise. All right, now listen. Next week, kickstart the vision, all right? Kickstart the vision. It's going to be a powerful week. I can't wait to share with you the direction we're heading as a church. Everything God is doing, he's been speaking to us and the staff and the leadership as we head forward to this new school year. You don't want to miss next week. It's going to be a powerful week. We're going to be talking about our own personal vision as well as the corporate vision God's given us here at Destiny. God bless you. Turn to somebody and give them a high five and say, let's kickstart it, baby. Let's kickstart it.